I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 490. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. There's a lot of scripture referenced in this episode, and I always try to list the references in the show notes, but I've also created an episode guide to partner with this episode so that you can engage in scripture on your own afterward. So grab your episode 490 guide at michellenezat.com/490 download. And if you've already subscribed to my email list, this guide is already in your inbox. So what song is so chock full of scripture? Well, it's I Believe by Phil Wickham. And I personally love the hometown version of this song. It may not be the one that's playing on the radio right now, but that's the one I'm going to link to on my website. And I have so much to unpack on this episode, and I can't wait to get to it. But first, let's listen. When I first heard this song, I immediately thought of the creeds that I've researched and taught in a class at my church. And so it wasn't surprising when I read that Phil Wickham referred to the song as a modern creed. He said, there are so many people in a state of crisis of their faith. People I know closely are asking, what is real? What do I believe? And so this song declares some of the key elements of our faith as followers of Christ, and it's definitely one to add to your playlist. So before we get into the scripture supporting the lyrics of this song, I want to give you a brief lesson on creeds and confessions. So the English word creed comes from the Latin word credo, meaning I believe. And it means a lot more than that, though. Declaring I believe is not just an academic acknowledgement, but includes the idea of confidence and reliance. And in a Bible encyclopedia that I referenced this week, it says, credo in unum Deum, I believe in one God, implies more than a bare recognition that only one true God exists. It brings the worshiper into a faith relationship with him that is expressed in the total unqualified surrender of the self. You get that, right? I mean, if I ask if you're a believer, it doesn't mean you believe there is a God, but that you believe in him. Being a believer is more than a statement of faith. It's a life pursuing and reflecting that faith. Now, you may have heard of the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed or some others, and you may even recite these creeds or portions of these creeds during your worship services. But there's many of us who did not grow up with creeds, and we don't use them in our worship services. So in short, a creed is a brief, formal summary of the Christian faith. Sometimes you hear the words creeds and confessions together. And so in a confession, a believer affirms their theological beliefs and then adds that element of willing to live by the beliefs. So I would say that this song is a modern creed and confession. And the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this, creeds are the declaration of confession and gratitude to the glory of God. So better said, belief leads to worship. Or a theology leads to doxology. So theology, our thoughts about God, lead to doxology, a worship response. And so why are creeds important? Well, I mean, historically, creeds were used to instruct children or to instruct new believers about the foundations of our faith. Creeds are sometimes even used as a test of church membership, kind of making sure that everybody believes the same thing. Again, they're summaries. Creeds are summaries, but they're also comprehensive statements of truth. They were often written and used to combat heresy. So as bad ideas arose in the early church, they used these creeds, these statements of faith that were based in scripture to combat these bad ideas. And as I mentioned, creeds are often incorporated into worship, and they can also act as personal confessions of faith. So I'm going to use our song to instruct and reveal where the lyrics reflect the scripture, and then you can use the song and the scripture in your personal confession of faith. And if you sing it in church, you can rehearse these truths in corporate worship as well. So let's start with the first stanza. I believe there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. So basically the lyrics are saying, I believe there is one salvation through Jesus Christ. The doctrine of salvation describes what Jesus did in order to save us from sin and give us eternal life with God. So remember, doctrine is just the word doctrine means a set of beliefs. So the doctrine of salvation is what you believe about salvation. And in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, there's a story about them healing a beggar by a gate. And when they were brought before the religious leaders and asked by whose power they performed this miracle, this is part of their answer. And I love it, starting in verse 10. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, there's so much in our song that these few verses speak to, but for right now, I believe there is one salvation. And Peter says it here, there is salvation in no one else. And our lyrics also say one doorway that leads to life. So in John chapter 10, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus is the door. And when we enter into relationship with God by him, we will be saved. And then also in this stanza, our lyrics refer to one redemption. Now, Hebrews chapter 9 talks about Jesus securing an eternal redemption. And I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verse 11. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. So there's that idea that we're honing in on. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, and it goes on, therefore he's the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Now, there's a lot of words in there, and this is one of those sections where it's easier to kind of go back and study on your own, so I'm definitely going to put that in the episode guide for you. But what we really want to hone in on is this idea that Jesus is our redemption. He is our one redemption. And so redemption, just to kind of define it, is the act of buying back or rescuing someone who was lost or enslaved. And so when we sing one redemption, one confession, we are affirming that the way God chooses to buy us back from the bondage of sin is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, one of the sessions I taught in apologetics this semester at my church was on world religions and cults. And in my research and preparation, I came across a wonderful explanation and a response to the idea that the world throws out there that says there are many paths to God. Because if we're singing that there is one salvation, one way, one path, then we are denying the claim of other religions that there are many paths. So let me start by pointing this out. When the emphasis is on the many paths option, the emphasis remains on us. So the responsibility is on us, the walker of the path. Choosing the right path falls away because they say any path leads to him. But walking the path becomes the focus. But what do we know? Well, we know this from Ephesians chapter 2. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So our salvation does not come through our efforts. The good news is it's a gift. We are to do good works, but not to receive salvation. We are to walk in the good works God prepared for us in advance as a reflection of the new creation that we are in Christ. Now, in addition, we need to think about where this one path leads. Why is Jesus the only way? Why is that the only path that will lead to God? Well, because the relationship we seek to reconcile is with God. And so what is God redeeming us from? The bondage of sin, ultimately death, your physical and spiritual death, which means eternal separation from God. So he's buying us back from the clutches of death to restore a relationship that's been broken because of sin. And from the Compact Guide to World Religions, we see this. Assume that you are responsible for having broken a relationship with a friend because of a wrong that you committed against him or her. How many ways are there to restore that relationship? Well, the answer is that there's really only one way for such a relationship to be restored, through confessing our guilt and requesting our friend's forgiveness. So in the same way, we have rebelled against the moral authority of God and thus have broken our relationship with him. And so salvation then is a matter of being reconciled to God. So when we ask for his forgiveness, he says, yes, and here is the way to receive that forgiveness, and it is through Jesus Christ. So Colossians 1 says this, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So that's Colossians chapter 1. So God has provided that means for reconciliation and forgiveness through Jesus. So as we confess our sins and place our trust in him, our one salvation, one redemption, one confession. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. All right, so let's move on to the next stanza, which sings this. I believe in the crucifixion. By his blood, I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah. His life is death's defeat. So Jesus' death by crucifixion was a divinely ordained historical event by which he lovingly accomplished atonement. He purchased Christians' freedom from sin and bondage, and he won our justification before the Father, and he triumphed over Satan's tyranny. So when I am seeing that I believe in the crucifixion, I believe in the crucifixion. I believe all that. I believe it really happened. I believe Jesus really died on a cross, and I can read about it in all four Gospels. And then according to Revelation, it is by his bloodshed that we have been set free, just like our song sings. So if you turn to Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 4, you see this. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So to Jesus, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, yes, I believe that. So, in fact, this, of course, ties back to our belief in one redemption. So another word for redemption is ransom. So listen to how Peter puts it. 1 Peter 1:17, if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So we've been bought back, we've been redeemed, ransomed, set free by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Galatians 3 says this, Christ redeemed us. Remember, redemption, ransom, all those are kind of saying the same thing. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So I believe in the crucifixion, and through that crucifixion and through that bloodshed is how Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then I believe in the resurrection, and more specifically in the death, burial, and resurrection, as Paul states it in 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some may have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, because remember, he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. But he says, I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So I believe in the resurrection, as does Paul. And this is where we can see it just so succinctly reiterated. And then I believe that Jesus's life is death's defeat. 2 Timothy 1:10 says this, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so he has defeated death. He's abolished death. And the victory, of course, is consummated in eternity. We read in Revelation 21, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. All right, so the next stanza of our song says, I believe in the hope of heaven. He's preparing a place for me far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard, or eyes have seen. So heaven is God's holy habitation, and it is also the future home of the redeemed. And so Jesus goes and he prepares a place for us in heaven. John 14 says, let not your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So this world, it's not our home country, okay? Philippians 3 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as our song sings, far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard, or eyes have seen, we read something very similar in 1 Corinthians, when Paul is quoting Isaiah. It says, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. All right, then let's wrap up with this final stanza. I believe that a day is coming. He's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning. See the lamb who rose, a roaring lion. So I believe that Jesus will return because scripture teaches that Jesus will return. So in Acts chapter 1, the angel, it said Jesus, so Jesus was speaking to his disciples. It says, when he has said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And then when we sing about keeping the altar burning, we can refer to the parable in Matthew chapter 25. There are five virgins who were wise and five virgins who were foolish, and the wise ones took extra oil for their lamps so that they would be ready when the bridegroom returned, so that their lamps didn't go out. And we don't have time to read it together today, but I encourage you to check this one out on your own. Again, Matthew chapter 25 will really help clarify this phrase, keeping the altar burning. Now, remember that the church is the bride of Christ. So consider this beautiful picture of the marriage of the Lamb in Revelation 19. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And then as far as seeing Jesus as a lion and a lamb, consider Revelation chapter 5. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." So the lion of the tribe of Judah is the lamb that was slain. I believe. Now, one final thought as we wrap up today. In the bridge of the song, Phil sings, "No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life?" And it echoes the thoughts of Paul in his letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." I believe. Do you? So what's next? Well, we're going to end where we began. Use this song as a creed, a rehearsal of summary statements about what you believe. Now, shore up why you believe what you're singing about by using the episode guide to point you to scripture. And then you can study those references that I really quickly went over today. And then let that study lead you into a confession of how what you believe will change the way you think and how you live. And then allow it to guide you from thoughts about God to worship of him as you sing all praise. Now, while you're in God's word, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on X or Instagram @michellenezat. My public page on Facebook is Michelle L. Nezat, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. Check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And then don't forget to grab your episode guide at michellenezat.com/490download. With that in mind, I want to thank any new subscribers who've subscribed lately, from all over the world this time, like Daniel from Nigeria, Jennifer from Oklahoma, Charmaine from Texas, Nick from the Philippines, Mark from the UK, Deanna from Ohio, Kelly from the Cayman Islands, Reagan from Spain, Renee from Texas, Daniel from Argentina, Carol from Spain, Barbara from New York, and Nicole from Florida. Welcome. And then don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, could you please do that today? Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can leave a review, or if you just need a link to get to the right place, go to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next time, I will be featuring Don't Stop Praying by Matthew West to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, X, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/490. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.